and welcome to Jazz Vignettes from the Hall. I am Fawn Fritzen. In this special series, music enthusiast Steve Gedrose explores the world of jazz from its roots to the present day. He breaks the fascinating, ever-evolving genre of jazz into easily digestible themes, backed up, of course, with plenty of music examples. In each episode, Steve will introduce you to musicians who were, or are, some of the key driving forces behind the evolution of jazz music. We recorded Steve's presentations live at the beautiful Old Fire Hall in downtown Whitehorse, Yukon. Annually, between October and April, Jazz Yukon presents 5 concerts as part of their Jazz in the Hall concert series. These events feature leading local jazz groups and are opened with a presentation by Steve, where he provides some background about the live music performed that evening. Steve's topic today is hard bop. This funky style borrows from rhythm and blues, as well as gospel music, to create a new direction in jazz. Hard bop typifies a move away from the esoteric bebop vibe of 1950s New York City. The main protagonists of this earthy style include pianist Horace Silver, drummer Art Blakey, saxophonist Hank Mobley, and trumpeters Clifford Brown and Lee Morgan. We'll hear from them all in today's show. It's all yours, Steve.
Hi, everyone. Welcome and thanks for coming out to Jazz Yukon's Jazz in the Hall show here at the Old Fire Hall. We really appreciate your support of live jazz in the Yukon. Tonight, I'll talk about a number of influential players and composers who helped to launch a style of jazz called hard bop. After that, we are very pleased to present Ann Turner's Joy Spring project. When Ann Turner sent me the playlist for her project, it occurred to me that one of the threads that's running through these selections was the involvement of Blue Note Records, with compositions by the likes of Horace Silver, Hank Mobley, Clifford Brown, and Lee Morgan. This music and these jazz players were at the very heart of that style that became known as hard bop. This is an area of jazz that the fabled Blue Note label helped to create, promote, and preserve. Blue Note Records is an American jazz record label established in 1939 by Alfred Lyon and Max Margolis. Francis Wolff, a childhood friend of Lyon's from their native Germany, became involved shortly afterwards. The label derives its name from the characteristic blue notes of jazz and the blues. Originally dedicated to recording traditional jazz and small group swing, the label began to switch its attention to modern jazz in the late 1940s. In the early 1950s, Lyon met recording engineer Rudy Van Gelder. Initially working from his parents' living room in Hackensack, New Jersey, Van Gelder developed a warm, clear sound that redefined the way that jazz was heard. This became the sound of Blue Note. Throughout these early years, Francis Wolff spent a lot of time in the studio with his cameras. He took unposed black and white photos of the musicians as they chatted, arranged, and played their music. With the innovation of the 12-inch LP in the mid-1950s, Lyon and Wolff needed to find a graphic designer to create album covers for their Blue Note records. They found the ideal person in Reed Miles, who was then working for Esquire magazine. He used contemporary graphics and Wolff's intimate black and white photos to depict the spirit of modern jazz. With this team in place, Blue Note dominated the artistic and commercial direction that jazz would take. They always placed quality above the financial pressures of the record business, which was the perfect choice for the legacy of jazz. Many of these records remain in print to reward all who listen with their timeless magic. While Wolff managed the business side, Lyon was busy in the studio producing a string of popular records. He budgeted for paid rehearsals and was involved with planning and selecting sidemen to ensure that each session made a strong artistic statement. This approach was and still is, I'm sure, unusual in the industry in any era and kept the label at the head of the pack. Like every record label, it's had its ups and downs through the years. It was sold and resold several times. In January 2012, multi-instrumentalist, producer, and engineer Don Was became president of Blue Note. He's been responsible for signing some very talented musicians and has expanded the label's roster to bring Blue Note back to prominence in the contemporary music scene. Several artists who were key in the early success of Blue Note include pianist Horace Silver, tenor saxophonist Hank Mobley, and trumpeters Clifford Brown and Lee Morgan. We also have to include drummer Art Blakey, who was a very important figure in the development of this new musical style. I'd like to sample some of their compositions for you tonight. The first person I'd like to speak about is pianist and composer Horace Silver. He was associated with Blue Note Records for more than 25 years. He was both a leader and a sideman on many titles in the label's discography. He was at the forefront of this new style of playing that incorporated gospel, funky rhythms, and certainly the blues. The music still used the fast tempos of bebop, but the melodies were simpler and the emphasis was on feeling, groove, and an excellent ensemble sound. This first tune was recorded on the influential Horace Silver and the Jazz Messengers LP from 1954. The powerhouse drummer Art Blakey was Silver's partner in this dynamic band. Silver left the Jazz Messengers after a couple of years to form his own combo. Art Blakey kept the group alive for the remainder of his career up until his passing in 1990. The Jazz Messengers became a finishing school for many, many talented jazz players, including Freddie Hubbard, Wayne Shorter, Woody Shaw, Terrence Blanchard, and both Branford and Wynton Marsalis. Producer Alfred Lyon felt that this number was too corny to be included on the record, but Silver persisted, and it became a big hit for Blue Note Records. I think you'll hear a little gospel and a whole lot of blues influence in the aptly titled The Preacher. So this is number one, please, Jim. This is The Preacher from Horace Silver and the Jazz Messengers LP, released in 1954.
Thank you.
Creature by Horace Silver. Another important figure in the storied history of Blue Note Records was tenor saxophonist Hank Mobley. Jazz critic Leonard Feather dubbed him the middleweight champion of the tenor. This title described Mobley's saxophone tone, which was heavier than Lester Young or Stan Getz, but lighter than that of John Coltrane and Sonny Rollins. Like Horace Silver, he figured prominently as a leader and sideman in the development of this hard bop stream. Between 1955 and 1970, he recorded 25 albums for Blue Note. This Mobley composition is typical of the soulful, bluesy approach that was so common in the Blue Note groups of the 1950s and 1960s. This record was the first since Mobley's debut in 1955 not to incorporate another horn player in the band's front line. This one is simply Hank Mobley on tenor, Art Blakey drums, Paul Chambers on the bass, and Wynton Kelly on piano. Definitely an all-star group. So this is number two, please, Jim. This is Soul Station from Hank Mobley's recording in the same name from 1960. Thank you. Station by Hank Mobley. Yet another talented jazz man that was at the periphery of the Blue Note family was trumpeter Clifford Brown. He was atypical of jazz musicians during this period, as he was a clean liver who didn't drink, smoke, or use drugs. In early 1954, he recorded some brilliant solos as a member of Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers from a live show at New York's famous Birdland Club. Later that year, he and the remarkable drummer Max Roach formed a very important jazz combo. Brown's death in a car crash at only 25 years old, after a too brief 4-year recording career, was one of the greatest tragedies in the jazz history. During his short career, Clifford Brown wrote some tunes that endure as jazz standards. One of these compositions is called Daoud. He named the tune after Talib Daoud. They were trumpet playing acquaintances in Philly in the early 50s, along with Dizzy Gillespie and Lee Morgan. Daoud is the Arabic equivalent of David, meaning my beloved. This song is typical of the amazing technical ability of Clifford Brown. His articulation is really masterful. This is number 3, please, Jim. This is Daoud, as recorded by Clifford Brown. This version taken from Clifford Brown and Max Roach on the MRC label, recorded late 1954 and early 1955. Prelude from Clifford Brown. A trumpet player who was the natural successor to Clifford Brown was Lee Morgan. He was a gifted prodigy who was playing in Dizzy Gillespie's orchestra at age 18. While he was very much influenced by the playing of Clifford Brown, he soon found his own voice. He used those gifts to record something like 25 Blue Note recordings between 1956 and 1971 as a leader. This doesn't count the many sessions he played on with Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers. There are a variety of stories about his untimely demise at the age of only 33, but however it went down, Morgan's common-law wife shot him at a gig at Slugs in New York. Like his mentor Clifford Brown, his death was a tragic waste of an exceptional talent. I'd like to sample the title track from his 1963 album called The Sidewinder. This record foreshadowed the sounds of boogaloo and soul jazz with its R&B and Latin influences. The title refers to a less than straightforward character, sometimes called a snake in the grass. So this is number four, please, Jim, The Sidewinder, as recorded by Lee Morgan in 1963. Sidewinder by Lee Morgan. This hard bop genre had the desired effect of bringing a larger audience back to jazz, even during the 1960s that were dominated by rock and the British invasion of North America. It remains a strong influence on today's jazz players as it offers endless possibilities for improvisation. That's my profile of some of the key figures in the development of hard bop, typically known as straight ahead these days. Thank you.
Most of today's tracks were taken from albums on the Blue Note record label. Thanks in large part to the efforts of Blue Note, this grooving style was successful in bringing a new audience to jazz. Their extensive catalog remains a vital resource for jazz players and listeners of all ages. We recorded this presentation in April 2015. This program was made possible by Jazz Yukon. Jazz Yukon is a volunteer organization that promotes and presents jazz in the Yukon through an annual integrated program of live jazz presentations and jazz education outreach. This episode was researched, written, and presented live by Steve Gedrose. Live recording by Jim Holland. Dieter Gade is our producer, and I am Fawn Fritzen. Thank you for listening.